Another shiur number 22, correct? Okay. Tonight we'll be having a discussion of the Aseres Adibros, loosely translated as the Ten Commandments, better, I think, translated as the Ten Proclamations. They say Ten Commandments, but really there are 14 commandments in the Aseres Adibros, which is not our conversation tonight. We will first discuss what took place by the Aseres Adibros, by the Ten Proclamations, Commandments, as they say, and then we will try to apply it to our everyday life. So we will begin back by Sukkot time. We'll go back to Sukkot. As the holiday of Sukkot ends, there's another day called Shmini Atzeres. Shmini means eighth, Atzeres, some translate in this context, is to hold back, to stop. Sukkot is about to end. Hashem says, wait, don't go yet. Wait one more day. You, my beloved children, and me, God. There'll be a holiday for just us to rejoice. All the other days of Sukkot, we are bringing karbanos offerings for the other nations. Here Hashem says it's just you and me. Basically, when you have a friend, some of us are leaving to camp, some of us are staying, some of us are going to Israel. We just had a good friend, Michael Feld. He just went to Israel, so he's learning there now. It's the difficulty to depart from each other. It's little good friends, brothers, sisters, parents, children. Hashem says to wait. Where is that Seres? Where is that eighth day for Pesach? Where does it exist? We have the Pesach, the holiday of Pesach. And what? Hashem said, I had enough. Too much matzah. It's time to go on. So the truth is, Shavuos is also called Atzeres. The Yontif of Shavuos, where we receive the Torah we had a few months ago, we call it also Atzeres. The days in between Pesach and Shavuos, all those intermediate days, called Chol HaMoed, which just like normally on a holiday, we have, it starts as the Yontif starts, the holiday begins, and then we have this day of Chol HaMoed in between, where we can do certain work. Then we have the end of the holiday. So too, Pesach begins the holiday. Those days of the Sfira that we count up to Shavuos connect us to Shavuos. Shavuos is that Seres. Hashem says, wait and stay with me. So to some degree, there's even a greater connection, Ahava and love, which is expressed from Pesach to Shavuos than there is even on Sukkot, because we have all those days that we're building up to the goal. The goal is Shavuos. So when God took us out from that slavery, from that bondage, and brought us to Har Sinai, the goal was not the redemption, but the goal was Har Sinai. In the name Pesach, if you add up Pesach, the gematria of Pesach, if you spell it out, Pei is Pei Hei, Samech, spell out the Samech, and Ches, spell the Ches, you spell out all the letters, it adds up to 613, 613. To come to show us that the point of Pesach is not that we just eat our matzah balls and whatever we have and do our leaning and have our freedom. But really the point of Pesach is to get to Shavuos, to receive the Torah. More than 3,300 years ago, we were there, all of us, every single one of us. Our neshama, our soul was there by Har Sinai. The Sefer HaChinuch, which is beautiful, translated in English as well, he goes through all of the commandments according to the parsha, and he explains in his introduction, a very worthwhile introduction to see, that he explains that God gave us the Torah in front of 600,000 men between the age of 20 and 60. Altogether, some calculate is 3 million. I saw some going even to 12 million or even more. Why did God do this in front of so many people? So the Chinuch explains that we know the way the world works. No matter where you are, if somebody goes out inside and tells you there's a parade today, you're like, okay, fine, why should there be a parade today? So then two people come in, three people come and tell you there's a parade right now. So one person said it, okay, fine. Two, three, four people said it. So let me take a look. Is there really a parade today? So four people said it, they added more truth to it possibly. That's the way things work, testimony throughout the whole entire world. So God said, I'm giving the Torah in front of 600,000 men. If you take Madison Square Garden, anybody familiar with MSG in New York, I think on a full night, by a basketball game, it fit maybe 35,000. Hockey game, basketball game, it varies. Depending on the rink, the seats. You go to Yankee Stadium, you have around 57,000. We said 600,000 now. Men between the age of 20 and 60 were there. I think some college football stadiums could hold something close to that. Someone could correct me, I don't know. But yeah, sounds right. Maybe.
800,000
people where?
Meron.
Okay, that wasn't a football stadium. Unless it's a new one, I'm not familiar with. So, the point is, I'm sorry? 100,000 maximum? 100,000. So here we're talking about a situation where God said, here is the Torah. Not in the private room, in front of one or two people, but in front of a whole entire nation. And the point of this is to strengthen the belief of what took place by this great revelation. And tonight we'll discuss exactly what happened over there and how we can relate to it on an every single day basis. The Sefer HaChinuch continues, explains that father to son, from father to son, all the way down to us today, transmitted this belief, this emunah, that God was there and spoke to us and gave us the Torah. Father does not lie to a child. Sometimes the chain gets a little broken because of the tragedies of our nation. We lost certain laws because people were running for their lives. Sometimes you'll find in certain sfarim, in certain books, that people cannot be marich. They can't lend in the discussion about the halacha because they're running literally from the crusaders. It wasn't a situation where they sat down like we had the privilege in this air-conditioned base medrash over here and turn on the AC, lower it, raise it, whatever you have to do. They were literally running for their lives. So sometimes that chain, that mesor, that tradition, got lost. But for the most part, it was from father to son all the way back to Har Sinai. So basically, what we're saying is that Aseres HaDibros, Har Sinai, is our belief in God. The emunah. The belief in God. There's a Navi Habakkuk, he said, he took all the 613 commandments and he put them in one commandment. And he said, if we fulfill this one commandment, that can branch off and then we'll be able to fulfill all of them. What is that one commandment? So the Gemara in Makos tells us that he took the mitzvah of emunah. Bach Habakkuk v'hamidon al achas, he took the one mitzvah. Tzadik be'emunah so yichyeh. Tzadik will live with emunah. He'll live with belief in God. We sang a few months ago, the Dayenu. I won't sing it for you now. You might not appreciate it. But there's a major question. There's a question in every single one of them. We say if God would have taken us out and not split the sea for us, that would have been enough. I don't understand that one. The Egyptians are right behind us. The water's in front of us. On one side we have that desert, that wilderness. Snakes and scorpions. Our rabbis tell us above us, the angels of death from Mitzrayim, from Egypt, were coming down to attack us. So God, if you would have taken us out of Egypt and not split that sea for us, that would have been enough. How do we understand this? And the same questions exist for every single question over here in the Dayenu, in the song Dayenu. And the truth is, we're not saying that would have been enough. Obviously, one understanding is, of course, that we're coming to appreciate every step of the way. You took us out of that bondage. You took us out of Mitzrayim. If we would not have been taken out by God, as we explained last week, we still would have been there today. So every step of the way, we're saying, thank you for what you did for us. If a child is rescued by a king and raised and clothed and fed and married off, the child would not have as much appreciation as if an adult was captured by an enemy nation and the same king rescues him. And the reason for that, the Chayvos HaVavos, the author of Duties of Our Heart, Duties of Your Heart, explains that because the child, and those of us with little children, how many times do we do things for our kids? And then, a second later, it's like a lack of appreciation. You know, you take them to the zoo, you do whatever you have to do for them, and you're schwitzing bullets, and that heat's coming down, and they ask for the ice cream, and you pull up to the ice cream store, and it's closed, and they go crazy on you. It's not your fault. And they forgot about all that good time they just had. The reason for that is because their mind is not mature yet. But that person who was an adult, who was saved by that king, the Chayvos HaVavos explains, he has that mature mind to appreciate what that king is doing for us. So at each step of the way, each stands over here, we're thanking Hashem for Hashem, what Hashem did for us. The question is, we come to the next one that says, Ilu kervanu lifnei Har Sinai, if God brought us in front of Har Sinai, the mountain where we receive the Torah, lo nasa lanu es haTorah dayenu, and He did not give us the Torah dayenu, that would have been enough. Every Friday night, we make Kiddush, we say, Vayechulu Hashemayim v'aretz v'chol, continue, that God stopped the creation, and we say, that it was on the sixth day, Yoyim HaShishi, on that sixth day, with that hey in the beginning, HaShishi, Vayechulu Hashemayim v'aretz, and on the sixth day, God stopped, and on the seventh day, we have now Shabbos. If you're writing it grammatically correct, you should take off the hay. But just to be clear, if you want to open up the Siddur, you could find this on page 1. I'm getting there. 178. Line number 2. This is Kiddush, Friday night Kiddush. Page 178, line number 2, the second word, Hashishi. That hey really does not belong there. Just say Yom Shishi, the sixth day. We're all used to saying Yom Hashishi, so we think it works out fine. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God said, I'm making a condition with a different sixth day, that is the sixth day of Sivan, where we receive the Torah. I'm making a condition with the sixth day of the creation to the sixth day of the month of Sivan, that if the sixth day of creation will exist, and all those days that preceded it as well, so long as comes that sixth day in the month of Sivan, and the Jews say, Naaseh v'nishma, we accept the Torah. If the Jews do not say that, the whole world will cease to exist. The world will go back to desolation, destruction, nothing. That's what that hay stands for. So on the side point, everybody has now a Dvar Torah, someone had to say at the Shabbos table, but that's for a different time.
So without the hay, it would just...
Without that hay, we mean the sixth day. Sixth day
without the hay.
Now, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Peches is telling us, that is Hashishi. It's that specific sixth day. Which sixth day? Vav Sivan. Vav Sivan, where we accepted the Torah, the world exists because of what everybody here is doing now. We need gas to put into a car, or soon sunlight power. I don't know how they're going to do it soon. We won't need the gas anymore. Don't worry about the $3 gallon prices. The world exists. The world's gasoline is the Limud HaTorah, is learning. If there were, God forbid, 1 second of no learning throughout the entire world, the world would not exist anymore. So God here is saying, I created the world, and the sixth day of creation will exist only if there's another day, another sixth day, meaning the sixth day of Sivan, which on that day we receive the Torah. So how do we understand this? God says, the world only exists if we learn the Torah. So how do we understand? Ilu kirvanu lifnei Har Sinai, if we would have brought in front of Har Sinai, and not receive the Torah, dayenu, that would have been enough. How could that be enough? The whole world, our whole lives exist. They depend upon the Torah. So like we said, of course, every step of the way is coming to, we're coming to thank Hashem. So obviously we wouldn't need the Torah. Obviously Hashem would have to give us a Torah, not that He has to give us anything, but we need the Torah in order to survive. But what did we do by Har Sinai? What did Har Sinai do for us that we're coming to thank Hashem for? What is that great maimed, that great revelation at Har Sinai that we're coming to thank Hashem for? It's not the receiving of the Torah over here, because we're not saying, thank you Hashem for giving us the Torah, and that would have been enough. We're saying, thank you Hashem that you brought us in front of this mountain. The Midrashim in different places, our rabbis tell us in different places, that when God gave us the Torah, He was coming down from the heavens, the mountains literally were jumping. We say the words in Hallel, Haharim roktu ke'elim, gevos kivnetzon. Haharim, the mountains were roktu, were jumping, like an eel, like a ram. And the Farshim, the commentators tell us, this is not a mashal, it's not just a parable of what, you know, we might think happened. This literally happened. Think of mountains. I know some friends of mine just went mountain climbing recently. Imagine you're climbing the mountain, all of a sudden, boom, it starts jumping up and down. Baruch Hashem didn't happen, right? No. He wasn't there. But these mountains were jumping. They were jumping like rams. Why? Because they were petrified. God is coming down. When Hashem said the words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. So there was not one bird that chirped. Not one ox. I don't know what oxen say. But not whatever they say, they didn't say it. Cows say moo. I don't know what an ox says. Whatever it might be. Okay? Whatever it was, they didn't say it. The winds stopped moving. The ocean stopped waving. What was the reason for this? The Medrash explains and tells us, because if you're like we are right now in one room over here and only one voice is heard, so everybody realizes the voice is coming from me. If there are many voices, one might say, oh, it's coming from there, it's coming from there. The whole world was silent. No dog barked. The reason for that was to emphasize the point that God's voice was heard, and only God. What are we saying here though? What was this great revelation that we're thanking Hashem, that you brought us in front of Har Sinai, in front of Mount Sinai? So we have to backtrack. We always have to go to the source. There was a lady, Chava, Eve, gave Adam, the apple. The truth is, it's incorrect. It was not an apple. Okay? Many people read the books, the storybooks, and they read the apples. It was not an apple. They say that's what we have. It's called the Adam's apple stuck in the neck. That's incorrect. Okay? She gave him to eat from the tree. At that point, something called Zuhama, the spiritual impurity, entered our bodies, our souls, to be more precise. This went on for generations after generations, and every single person born afterwards was born with this Zuhama. He had this spiritual impurity inside of him. Comes Har Sinai, and Hashem opens up the heavens, the seven heavens. Doesn't mean the skies when you fly in a plane. The spiritual heavens. He opens up the depths below as well. Every single person there had the ability of prophecy. We all became prophets. The fetus inside the mother, everybody, we all had that ability to see God. What is Zuhama? Zuhama, this impurity, this spiritual impurity, is sfeikus ba'achduso yisbarach, is doubts in Hashem. What does a doubt in God mean? I'll give you an example. you ever drive on the turnpike and all of a sudden there's a little bend, and by that bend you see people are slowing down a little more than they're supposed to by a curve? We all do the same. Why? Because there's a speed trap there. So we figure there's a cop in that corner over there. Or if you have that little device, I forgot what it's called, that clicks and beeps and beeps and beeps until you get a headache. So, sorry?
Radar detector,
thank you. So if you have that, so you know where to slow down. What does this mean? When the mice is away, the cats will play. No, the other way. Cats away, the mice will play. That's how it goes. When the cop is there, when the policeman's there, so we all slow down. We don't want to get that ticket. When he's not there, I'm not going to say what happens. When a person doesn't see, or he thinks he doesn't see God, so he does what he wants. When Adam and Chava, when Adam and Eve, they sinned and they ate from the Eitz Hadas, they ate from the tree of knowledge, what entered inside of them was this sfeikus, this doubt. Sfeik means a doubt in God's existence to some degree. So what causes us to sin? Well, we don't see God. They say the story of the Chofetz Chaim, where we saw Meir HaKohen Kagan, the great leader of world Jewry, passed away in 1933. And they say the story, he was on the wagon, being driven by the wagon driver and the horse. You might have heard the story. And the wagon driver stops the wagon, tells the Chofetz Chaim, says, "Do me a favor, if you see anybody coming, let me know." He pulls over, he wants to pull off some fruit from the tree, whatever it might be, something. So he's about to go pull it off. The Chofetz Chaim starts screaming, "Hey, stop, 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 someone's watching." So he runs back, he's petrified. He's looking around for the police. Anybody, somebody, doesn't see anybody. Okay, he's an older man, maybe he didn't see too well, I don't know. He runs back, he wants to go steal. So once again, the Chofetz Chaim starts screaming out, "Stop, stop, stop." He runs back. I don't know how many times exactly it happened, I wasn't there, but the wagon driver had enough of this. He said, "There's no one here, what are you doing? You're supposed to start, you scream out if someone's coming." He says, "God is here. God sees everything." So when a person wants to come to sin, when he has this mindset of sinning, whatever the sin might be, it's because he doesn't have this relationship with God. And that's the answer. What took place by Sinai was as follows. Hashem took away that zuhama. He took away that lack of belief we had in God. He opened up the heavens, He opened up the earth below us, and we were able to see God to whatever degree a living being can see God with prophecy. When that took place, if the Father is right in front of you, I won't say which child, but I had a child recently, one of my kids, who I told not to do something, so he told me, said, "As soon as I leave, he's going to do it." So I was just so stunned he said it, I couldn't believe it. Started at a young age these days. So, what we're saying here is that we saw God right in front of us. That's what happened by Sinai. We're thanking Hashem that you brought us in front of this mountain, that you took away this spiritual impurity. Unfortunately, not too long after that, we sinned by the golden calf, and this zuhama, this spiritual impurity, was brought back to us, but not as great as it was the first time.
I see. Without the zuhama, there's no free will. In other words, it's the greatest moment in the history. You can't sin. You're seeing God then.
Well, we elevate ourselves to that point. Okay. We elevate ourselves to that point. Let's continue. So basically what we discussed now, until now, is we put together what took place by our Sinai, why we were thanking Hashem to bring us to this point. Now we have to ask ourselves, how does this relate to us on an everyday basis? So if you once again open the Siddur, at the end of Shacharis on page 91, the Shei Sechir. Yeah. We should use some more of those.
It's okay.
On page 91, line number 2. So these are the Shei Zechiros. These are the six commandments, six remembrances, that a person should try to say every single day. The Ramban Nachmanides explains to us that this is a positive commandment. These are to mention these, to say it with our mouths, not just to think about them. We will discuss now the second one, where it says, Bei Zechiros Maimar Sinai, to remember what took place by Sinai. And it says, Raki Shom Lecha, line number 2, we should lest we forget, Oshmur Nashecha, we should guard ourselves, but we should not forget, Oshmur Nashecha Moed, we should guard ourselves very well. Pentishkach Es HaDvarim Asher Roei Necha, lest we forget, Es HaDvarim, those things, Asher Roei Necha, which our eyes saw, because we were all there. Ofenya Surum Elvavcha, Koyim Echayecha, we should make sure these things do not go away from us all the days of our lives. What should we do? We should tell them to the next generation, like we explained from the Sefer HaChinuch, from one generation to the next generation. Yoyim, the day asher amanta lefnei Hashem lekecha, the day that we stood before God, your God, b'chorev. Chorev is another name for Har Sinai. So we have this commandment, this obligation, to remember what took place by Har Sinai. How does one fulfill this commandment? Every day we have this commandment. So, on a simple level, if we say this over here at the end of davening, so we can fulfill it right there and then. As well as, that's the actual saying it. But when we speak to our children, when we speak to our friends, when we engrave it into our system, that's also fulfilling this commandment. Of what? Of speaking out, of Hayidatim Levanecha, of telling our children of what took place on that great day. If we turn to right before Shema, on page 44, we have the Tefillah of Ahava Rabba. This precedes Shema, which we have to say twice a day. Why do we say Shema twice a day according to the biblical commandment, and once before we go to sleep according to the rabbis? The reason for that, the Sefer HaChinuch explains, is because, as we all know, in the sports world, there's something called home field advantage and home court advantage. And comes towards the end of the season, you always hear the teams are trying to win that position. And there's an advantage. It's home court advantage, home field advantage. You're playing at home. We are not at home over here. You might feel comfortable. You might like this armchair. We're not at home over here. The neshama, our soul, is not at home. The guf, the body, that's where the home is. We are in the physical world. The neshama, the soul, is the spiritual. It's from the spiritual world. So what we're saying over here is that God gives us reminders, constant reminders. So even though we don't have home field advantage, the body does. But yet, we have the mitzvah of tefillin, we have the mitzvah of tzitzis, we have the mitzvah of the mezuzah. Imagine this. We put on the mezuzah on our door, and every single second, according to many authorities, we get reward for that. Imagine a person goes to work one day, punches in the clock, and then he goes out. Imagine getting paid for a work like that. I don't know any work job like that that the boss would keep him around for too long. You punch in, and you walk out, do whatever you want. Here Hashem says, God says, put up a mezuzah on your doorpost, and every single second that's there, according to many poskim, many authorities, halachic authorities, we get a mitzvah for that. What's the reason for all these mitzvahs, and for Shema as well? To say Shema in the morning and Shema at night is to emphasize and to ingrain in our system that we have these reminders, constant reminders, that the neshama, the soul, is here to reign, not the body. So when we come to Shema, where the purpose of Shema is to accept upon ourselves that unity, that oneness of God, that God rules over us, and we have an obligation. When a person knows he has a boss, he has to do the job. When the person doesn't think he has a boss, the boss will let him know he's right. The boss will fire him. No more boss, no more job. God says, I give you the mitzvah of Shema to emphasize this point, and all these other mitzvahs as well, of tefillin, to remind ourselves specifically that we are here in this world to serve Him, to have constant reminders. When we say on page 45, line number 4, V'keiravtanu shimcha hagadol sela be'emes l'hoidois l'cho l'chetcha be'ava, that you brought us close. Page number 45, line number 4. You brought us close. Close to what? Over here, the Magen Avraham in the Shulchan Aruch tells us that we should have in mind Maimir Har Sinai, the Kerav Tanu. You brought us close to Har Sinai. This is how we can fulfill this mitzvah over here, of remembering Har Sinai. He says as well, when we say the words on line number 3, right before that, which I sort of should have started with, Uvanu, at the last word of the line, Uvanu v'charta, you, God, chose us from amongst all the nations. We should remember Matan Torah, that God gave us the Torah. So we have, once again, Uvanu v'charta, that you, God, chose us, like we make the bracha in the morning. Uvanu v'charta, you chose us, Matan Torah, that refers to Matan Torah, that you gave us the Torah. V'keiravtanu, you brought us close. You brought us close to what? You brought us close to Har Sinai. We continue, and throughout the whole entire Shema, we have this ability to see that Sarah said there was the Ten Commandments. And we'll do that right now. And that is as follows. When we say Shema Yisrael, line number 8, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We are declaring God's unity, His oneness. Listen, Israel, hear, O Israel. Hashem Elokeinu, God is one, the powerful God. So when we say the words Hashem Elokeinu, in the Aseret Hadibros and Ten Commandments, we have the first one is Anochi Hashem Elokech, I am Hashem, your God. When we say the words Hashem Elokeinu, that refers to in the Ten Commandments, as they call it, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the first of the Aseret Hadibros. When we say the words at the end of line number 8, Hashem Echad, God is one, that refers to the second one, Lo Yelecha Elohim Achirim, you should not have any foreign gods. We continue with line number 10. The first word is Vahafta. Vahafta Eis Hashem Lekecha. You should love God. How do we love God? Laisisa Shem Lekecha Lashav. We do not say God's name in vain. What does that mean? When we make a bracha, we have the proper kavanah, the proper concentration of what a bracha is. This is another way of expressing how we don't transgress of saying God's name in vain. We continue with the end of this paragraph, line number 17, where it discusses the commandment of the mezuzah, Uchsav tom al mezuzos beisach uvisharecha. You should write them, the words of the Torah, Al mezuzos, on the doorpost, beisecha, of your house. Your house and not someone else's house. What does that refer to? It's referring to the mezuzah. It's referring to your house and not stealing. Excuse me, loisachmoy, don't desire. Right? We're talking about, write it, put the mezuzah on your house. Not, oh, I like to put the mezuzah on that house. That house is a little bigger. That's beisecha, your house. So when all the way throughout Shema, we're showing over here how we can fulfill the remembrance of reciting the Aseret Hadibros. We see the Aseret Hadibros in Shema itself. We continue with the next paragraph. We can turn the page to page 46. And we go down to the words of Asafta Diganecha, on line number 5, you should gather in your grain. What does that refer to? Lo yisignoy, don't steal. If it's your grain you're gathering in, that means you're not gathering in your friend's grain.
Even though this...
Correct. What my good friend here is discussing is that in the Ten Commandments, it's lo signal of don't steal is referring to stealing, kidnapping. That's your asking, right?
Correct.
However, this the kidnapping incorporates and encompasses all aspects of stealing. So we're saying over here, you should gather in your grain and not the grain of stolen grain. We continue, go down to another few lines on line number 12. Va'avadatem mehera, the second word on the line. If a person kills, va'avadatem mehera. We're saying over here in the Shema that if a person does not follow God's path properly, and he worships foreign gods, it's going to be a situation where God will not allow him to live too long. Like Sitzach, don't kill. If he kills, he will be punished as well. We continue. I just want to point out, there's a sitter over here, the Mishnah Brura sitter, and what it did was, it put on top, in the Shema, in each place, what I'm saying now, it put those little words on right on top in the Shema. So that's why I keep looking back at this Sefer and the other Sefer. We continue over here with the next one of Leman Yirbu Yemeichem. On page 47, line number 1, Leman Yirbu Yemeichem, your days will be lengthened by fulfilling the words of the Torah. By fulfilling the mezuzah properly, your days will be lengthened. How do we see that? That's by the mitzvah of in the Ten Commandments of Kibud Av V'Em. Correct. Honoring one's parents. We are told in the Torah, when one honors one's parents, he will be rewarded with long life. We continue. In the next paragraph now, with the words, V'lo yisasuru acharei levavchem. On line number 10, the last word on the line, V'lo yisasuru, do not go astray. Acharei levavchem, acharei nechem, after your heart's desires, acharei nechem, after what your eyes see. V'lo yisasuru refers to in the Aseres Nedivos, do not commit adultery. If we start looking around and we, person would God forbid, follow those desires, V'lo yisasuru. So we're commanded, don't start going astray, don't turn our heads in the wrong direction. We come to the next one. Leman tizkiru v'asisem es komitz v'isai, which is on line number 12, the last two words on line. Leman tizkiru, that you should remember. V'asisem, you should make the tzitzis, and in this paragraph, the third paragraph of Shema. Leman tizkiru v'asisem, you should do all my commandments. That refers to Shabbos. Excuse me. Shabbos is compared to all the mitzvahs. When we fulfill Shabbos properly, it's like we fulfill the whole entire Torah. Our rabbis tell us that if we, the Jewish nation, would fulfill the whole entire Shabbos properly, we would be redeemed. So we see Shabbos corresponds to all of the 613 mitzvahs. And we had the last one. You say the words on line number 16, going to line number 17, Ani Hashem Leikecha, I am Hashem your God. That is, Leisana Bariacha Eid Shaker. Don't give false testimony. That is referring to, a person has to emphasize and realize to himself that there is someone to pay the price to, there is a judge. Don't give false testimony. There is a lot to elaborate on all of these, but unfortunately we don't have enough time now. I just want to ask if everybody could turn the page 48, and with this we'll end. Actually, we're going to have to go to the other Shema and Maariv. So we'll turn a few more pages to page 116. We get ready for Maariv davening over here, just mentally. Page 116. So right before that, on line number 8, we just ended Shema. Page 116, line number 8, we just ended the Shema. How did we begin the Shia, the class? We discussed and said how the Navi Habakkuk said the 613 commandments are all in what?
Emunah.
In Aseret HaDibros, he had the 613 commandments. They are all encompassed in there. We just put Aseret HaDibros in Shema. What is the next word right after Shema?
Emunah.
On line number 9. The Emunah. Shema is Emunah. Tefillah is Emunah. So although we didn't have a regular Tefillah share tonight, we still had our Tefillah share. We should all merit to strengthen our Emunah through davening in every way possible.
Shikar.